Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's time. Time for your weekly appointment with the only man who could host a four-hour Saturday tour de force of sports talk on CBS Sports Radio. Why? Why did we select this man to undertake this Herculean task? Because, well, his name is on the marquee. Here he is, Robin Lundberg.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. I've been attempting to spread some positivity on the show today. And, you know, it's been a long week. The news, Chadwick Boseman dying last night, really hit me pretty hard. Both from a personal standpoint, being he was just 43 years old. I turned 39 tomorrow. I have a family history of colon cancer. He died of colon cancer. And then the connections to, the broader public, him playing Jackie Robinson. Jackie Robinson obviously celebrated yesterday in Major League Baseball, has been used in some of these demonstrations, that the number 42. And then the Black Panther character, which is an inspiration to a lot of people, especially obviously young Black children have a superhero, that's out front and center. But just a bring it, Marvel's so popular and celebrated by so many different people, right? So many different walks of life. That cheering you get in the theater, Avengers Endgame, when Spider-Man and Black Panther and all those guys come back at the end of that movie, that's the kind of thing I want more of in life, right? All of us cheering together or feeling something together that makes us feel good. So I'm trying to do my part. At 855-212-4227, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. And I know sometimes people feel hopeless. I think that's part of what led to what the NBA did the other day. Come on. That's, what do we do? How do we make it so this doesn't happen again? And they did their best. And then some of us, I feel like sometimes you get in, you feel like you can't talk to certain people because they won't hear you. And I don't want people to be in their silos or their bubbles. So whether it's futile or not, I'm going to do my best to break that down and ask for some positivity. And I had a caller, before the break at the bottom of the hour there, he actually said something I genuinely appreciated, because he clearly is a consumer and comes from a place where a lot of my viewpoints are not shared. But he said he listens to my show because he learned some things and enjoys my perspective. And if that can happen, you know, maybe there is some hope for all of us to you know, to maybe break some of this animosity and polarization down. Bourbon Neat One tweets in, along with fixing racism, couldn't pro athletes also try to fix the violence, looting, and destruction around the country? I haven't heard a word of concern around that from them. Too much to ask. All of this is too much to ask, dude. Professional athletes. Why do we keep turning to professional athletes? Again, I said, look, these NBA guys are just doing their best. And the caller I talked about before had referenced that. Like, look, Martin Luther King famously called riots the voice of the unheard. And remember, Martin Luther King, for what he has become and how he is looked at, was arrested, I believe, 29 times. And he was assassinated. He was murdered. So, you know, it's not like this is a new story, but here's what I would ask. Don't latch on to it. I haven't heard, you know, there are people who have bits of frustration and might say some things. Who is pro-destruction? Who is pro-violence against anyone? I haven't heard, I don't hear that from anybody. So just do me a favor, don't latch on to that. Why would you lose everything else in that? No one group of people is a monolith. Let's go to Mike in New Hampshire. Mike, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, guys? You hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, right on. So I just want to talk about, you know, Americans need to realize what's going on with these protests on the ground, because the media, you know, the internet and the media, they're not really covering what's going on, you know, during these protests, man. You know, I had to protect my storefront, my commercial building, during these protests back in June, and I got surrounded by like 30 of these people, you know. And what's going on is you got, you know, good protesters doing their thing, which is great, you know, good for them. And then you have these different factions running around, you know. So you have, like, on the other side of town, you have all these hooligans running around creating anarchy and burning stores to the ground. So that's what's going on, and it's well planned out. Very well planned out what we saw. You know, I was on the ground for about 24 hours straight, and we saw all kinds of things. You know, I had two of my buddies were special operators in the Army. I was in the Army too. So, you know, we can kind of identify what's going on. And, you know, they had handlers there. You know, they had these guys in their 40s and 50s telling these younger kids where to go. So, you know, where to go. They're looking for soft targets, things like that. But these younger kids are getting used as bait for propaganda. So cameras were out, you know, I got surrounded by 30 of these people or whatever, 30, 40. I don't even know how many. There's so many of them, I couldn't even count. Cameras everywhere, you know, we had our rifles, man. You know, we had our, you know, M4s, you know, our assault rifles, and they're starting to throw rocks at us, man. And we had live rounds. You know, and the kids that we're not arguing with, but the kids that we're seeing doing this, they're all white kids. They're all young white kids, right? They're all like 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. And I'm telling you, this is God's truth. Every other word out of their mouth was the N-word, every other word. We couldn't believe it. You know, I'm like, you guys are supposed to be protesting for Black Lives Matter, things like that. It's great. But every other word was the N-word. You know, it was just—it was crazy. We just couldn't understand, you know. And, you know,
there have been coordinated efforts to, you know, use this moment to create chaos and then point the finger at, you know, black people as a result, or you know, the movement or whatnot. But I appreciate your call and perspective. Look, there's a lot of, we could unpack about that and assault rifles and the like, and what happened with that kid who killed some people the other day in the street and walked away from it. But that wasn't what I was talking about, and that's not my forum here. We're talking about you know, this is a sports show, so I will keep it through the prism of sports. Now, obviously, you know, I'd be negligent in my job if I wasn't talking about what the NBA guys did and what is the biggest sports story in the country and maybe the biggest story in the country. But we haven't been talking about, like, the protests and what's going on in the streets and the protests. I talked about the NBA guys trying to do their part to do the best they could and put their message out there. When I say bring positivity, can we all agree? I would hope we would all agree unnecessary violence bad, right? Hurting other people bad. Destroying things bad. These are things that we shouldn't need to spend our time with. We shouldn't need to spend our time with. That's not that, you know, positive energy I'm trying to harness necessarily this morning, but I do appreciate your firsthand perspective. Ralph in Rhode Island. Ralph, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Ralph?
Good morning. The NBA players, I think they mean well. I think they mean well and they're coming forward. I think they're hurting the cause. I don't think they're doing anything positive because of the way they're attacking it. Now, I like your forum and what you're trying to say. You know, we have to get together on this thing. But they come forward and they're saying, but, you know, if I'm an NBA player, I'm coming forward. And you know, the problem is, Taylor, right down to racial profiling. You know, there's a George Floyd incident once every million people get arrested. But it's racial profiling. And that's not only with law enforcement. That's with all of us. I mean, you know, the racial profiling is where it starts and where it goes from. But the thing is, if I'm an NBA player, you know what I want to do? I want to denounce that. But I also want to look at the youth of today and say, you know what? Here I am, a wealthy, prominent athlete, making a ton of money. People are asking me for autographs. I'm not out there ruining my career by being charged with domestic assaults and robberies. You have to understand that if they don't go to both sides, you're going to accomplish nothing, because it looks to most of white America, what we're seeing in the NBA games, that's kind of militant. And, you know, somebody, I don't know if it was you, mentioned Muhammad Ali. They're not Muhammad Ali, but who could be Muhammad Ali is Kaepernick, and he's not becoming it. If Kaepernick came out right now, Muhammad Ali did some things he wasn't proud of when he first became prominent. You know, he said things he knows he shouldn't have said, and then he turned it around. Kaepernick could come out right now, go to a game, stand up for the national anthem and say, you know what, it was never against the national anthem. It was against the racial problems in this country and the racial injustice. Then after that, kneel. After the anthem is done, he could kneel. Everyone at that game, if you had attendance, would kneel. And they'd say, you know what? Okay, now he's trying to get to both sides. He could become it, but he's not doing that. Now, he's as militant as he ever was, but he could become Muhammad Ali. That would change how everyone looks at Kaepernick, white and black, Asian, everyone.
Look, let me tackle, and I appreciate the call, a couple of things you said there. One, I'm not talking about the national anthem. I'm done. I'm not having that argument with anybody anymore. There's nothing will be accomplished. I think anyone who has consumed this sort of content understands what the protest was about. People have their own personal perspective on what the national anthem means to them. It's just not a useful exercise. And then the kneeling also is, I think, what we've seen, and I think NBA guys saw it. You know, there have been mass demonstrations of kneeling before games. You know, Jay-Z said when he announced that deal with the NFL and Roger Goodell, which he got a lot of criticism for, and there was one particular part of a quote he said, he thinks we're past kneeling, that people really ran with as if he was against Colin Kaepernick or against some of the movements of his own people. And if you watch the full commentary, what he said was, you know, I think we're past kneeling and we need to get into actionable items because people are aware of what the problem is now. You know, that awareness has been created, and that, you know, the kneeling was a necessary part of it, but at this point, you know, what's the next step? And I think you saw that from the NBA the other day. And to say they're not accomplishing anything, I don't think is fair. I mean, I just don't think it's fair. People may not like it. That's okay. I mean, people are going to have different opinions on how you go about and what the, you know, root issues are and the best way to change them. But to say that every arena being turned into a voting station and some of the other, you know, the money that they've raised and some of the other grassroots causes that they're going after, and the initiatives that they're trying to put into place. I mean, they just did. You can't expect it to happen overnight. I don't think it's fair to say they accomplished nothing. And then also, again, I don't think it's fair we keep putting this on them. Like, What about us? What about everyone else? What about the people whose actual jobs that is? I mean, it just seems like a really unfair onus to put on the NBA. Chris in Alabama. Chris, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Chris?
Thank you, Robin Lundberg, for being the voice that I need to hear in these times of darkness. I mean, what can I say? I mean, I've been on here saying when people were saying Kyrie was in crazy for saying he shouldn't even start the season. I mean, like, I agree totally. I mean, I feel like there's always been the issue. We have to prioritize this issue before we can honestly move on as people. That we have to debate and politicize that the necessity of life, that shouldn't be something that debated or politicized. Like, we all should believe on a common ground that believe that the necessity of life itself is nothing that should be prioritized of everything. And sure, I disagree with Rod and Luden, but as you said earlier, I mean, ride and lose results of people who feel they aren't on a herd. And I'll just say this one thing before I just let you take over from here on out is, again, I can say we agree that a common ground that people who break the law should be described as criminals, should be considered the lowest brand of scum in the world. But we all should honestly, collective agree that those who will leave their fellow man aside, and not a lack of empathy of it, are worse than scum. Thank you, Robin Lundberg, and have a good day.
All right, thanks for the call, man, and for listening. Look, like I said, I'm trying to bring positivity here. And it's tough. It really is. It's tough. And you'll get, you know, people get so polarized or latch onto one thing. And like I said, with the I have a couple people tweeting at me now. Again, about some of the ancillary aspects of these various movements. Can we just put things on the table? Like, we're all against violence, unnecessary violence. We're all against, you know, destruction. We're all against those things. Like, can that be something we use all in front of? I don't think any of the NBA guys, that was what they had in mind when they're taking the stance they're taking. I don't know. NBA does resume today. There will be games. They'll be playing again today. The NFL starts in 2 weeks. I mean, guys, that's another aspect of it. Is football is like, you've seen it, right? The Big Ten stops their season and people lose their minds. And now there's reports that the Big Ten may be attempted to play sometime around Thanksgiving. And the NFL is less than 2 weeks away. I mean, the NFL, I always say, is the single most popular thing in this country. Single most popular thing in this country. 41 of the top 50 television programs in 2019 were NFL games. Two others were college football games. That's 43 of the top 50 programs. And these things are going to happen in the NFL too, to some degree, to some extent. We've already seen it. So, I mean, shouldn't that show you how, you know, the moment has called for so many people to do their part or attempt to do their part? I want to remind you, today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, WNBA action from inside the IMG Academy as New York battles in the Las Vegas Aces on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. New York Liberty against the Las Vegas Aces. It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio, and it continues coming up.
He's a student of sports and a professor of pop culture. He's Robin Lundberg.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's go to Lavelle in Atlanta. You're up next here on the show. What's going on?
Hey, good morning. Can you hear me?
I got you.
Hey, man, I just wanted to definitely commend you on sharing some positivity. I listened to your show, and I think that, you know, you come from a place of compassion, and you can hear the genuineness come across. And just like the NBA players, you know, whether people think something's right or wrong, you're just trying to do their part, just like you're trying to do your part. And if you can kind of, you know, spread positivity to even one person to help them get a different viewpoint, it helps us be better. And you know, I think you and one of the callers here something about a message of empathy. You know, there's good and bad apples in all races. And we have to have empathy to help each other grow. And I think, you know, we have to, you know, look at that. Everybody's not bad. And, you know, there's positivity that can come through in anyone. But one thing I wanted to share with the callers that, you know, I think if we look through that lens and through that viewpoint will help. When you think back about, you know, the September 11th terrorist attacks and Hurricane Katrina, and, you know, people were covered in flood waters or in that muck, and, you know, they just lifted a hand needing someone there to lend a hand. In that moment, you didn't care whether that hand was a black hand, a white hand, an Asian hand. You just knew that there was someone there lending a hand to help pull you to level ground. And I think if we look from that viewpoint, from that lens, not caring about, you know, who's helping who, you know, you're in a place of needing help, someone is in a place to lend help, but you don't care who it is, and if we look from that lens, we all can be better, because when we work together, you know, we strike a mighty blow. So, you know, I definitely wanted to put that out, man, and thank you for what you're doing.
Well, thank you for the call. And to your point, I think you saw that with the NBA guys, right? And I think Danny Green was the one who said it yesterday. Like, they saw their collective power versus their individual power. Like, you know, guys like LeBron James can say something and it could be everywhere at any time. But guys like Danny Green, that's not necessarily the case, right? And together, the collective power on the NBA is a display. So that is what can happen when we come together. And sports. Right? Like I said, it's a sports show, CBS Sports Radio, here, Robin Lundberg Show. And you know, I again, appreciate all the varying perspectives I get, whether it's you know, the business owner before or Lavelle in Atlanta just now. You know, that's all part of it. But don't we say it all the time? Like, isn't that the cliche, the mantra? Sports brings people together? So let's try to do that today, right? Let's everybody come together with some positivity. We need it, man. We need, like, I'm in my feelings today. It has been a tough week. Like, it's, I don't say that in passing. I'm, you know, I feel that. When I see what happens to people on camera, bullets, I feel that. When I see the visible frustration from the NBA guys, I feel that. Baseball, so on and so forth. And then Chadwick Boseman last night, like, you know, that, my kids, my son, one of my best experiences with him is going to see Marvel movies, you know? Getting excited when that logo comes on the screen. And you know, I can't imagine for black kids that, you know, that Black Panther experience, what that was like. It's heavy. It's a lot. And then there's pandemic. Everybody is suffering from that, right? All walks of life. People, there's health at risk and economic anxiety at risk from that. And I just noticed over the last couple of days of the week that just like so much polarization and toxicity and negative energy in the air. So let's, you know, if sports do bring people together, let's do it. AC in Atlanta, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, AC?
Hey, thank you. Thank you for what you do and for moving us forward in this conversation. I mean, I think we all know that sports and music are kind of the center of American, of our culture, and that, you know, those two views usually reflect how most of us feel and our aspirations. So what the players are doing is, look, they're in it. They are in it, whether they want to be or not. And rightfully so. They're using their platforms to help us all come together, because we need to solve the root cause of this problem. I mean, having, you know, large segments of our society harassed and sometimes shot or choked out by the people they're paying to protect them, it's just not acceptable. I mean, it's the source of the protests and the discomfort in our country, and that's why the athletes are bringing awareness to it. That's why we all, like what you're doing, need to bring awareness to it. And then we need to, you know, for some of us who are kind of searching for these micro faults as some kind of strategy to invalidate what's happening or part of what's happening to our American community, tends to be hurtful. And it's really hurtful against, you know, us or those that are being harmed. And so I think we can come together. I think we can come together more. But we got to accept that what happens to the least amongst us or any of our communities impacts us all, because, you know, we're a team. We're a team. We're a team of many people from many backgrounds, just like a sports team. And so seeing those sports players stand up, because, you know, we're seeing black folks, we're seeing white folks, we're seeing, you know, Hispanic, all kinds of folks on these teams taking a stand for part of our American community, and it's inspiring. That is the best of us. And so I applaud what they're doing, and I think I challenge all of us to not look for some kind of, you know, gotcha in a protest or some kind of reason to invalidate what's going on. We need to look at what they're doing and hold it as an example of what we all should be doing to move forward. Thank you.
No, I appreciate the spirit of what you're saying there, and thank you for the call. You know, that's part of what I was getting at the beginning. 855-212-4227 at Robin Lundberg. We need some positive energy, right? Like, there are certain things we should just all be in agreement on, and valuing human life should be one of them. And you know, like, and I'm thankful that these sports guys are, you know, doing what they do, because they allow us to maybe, you know, have some of the, I bet you some of the best conversations about these topics are coming on sports shows. I mean, you go back to earlier, you know, actually through this whole process, you know, this whole year, if I'm talking about this monster that has been 2020, obviously it started with Kobe Bryant, and of course that was, you know, discussed in sports forums. But the pandemic, I mean, the depth of discussion on the pandemic has probably been higher on sports shows than other places because of the ramifications for the return of sports. And then right after the tragedy with George Floyd, Drew Brees and Roger Goodell and so on and so forth, whatever you thought at that time prompted a lot of conversation. And now the NBA here at this moment. So, you know, in many ways, sports has probably had as big a role as any other entity. And if they do bring people together, that's what I'm attempting to do today.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It is The Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. And I'm joined now by Dan Wiecke, Los Angeles Times national NBA writer, who recently joined the bubble. And Dan, first, what was it like actually getting inside there? Can you describe that experience a little bit for me?
Yeah, so it's a little complicated, right? Like, so there's sort of like the bubble, and then there's like the sort of like outer bubble. Mm-hmm. And right now I'm in the outer bubble. I'm going into the big bubble next week, where you have to do 7 days of quarantine in your hotel room, where
you don't go outside you ever, you know, but, you know, like even this outer bubble, like, you know, you have to get, you have to get tested a couple times. You have to have a negative result before you're even allowed to go into the upper areas of arenas. Right. And so I was able to see a couple games, and the plan was to get to see a week of basketball before going into quarantine for the other bubble. And obviously that plan has changed because I have barely left my hotel room the last 3 days for a different, you know, kind of stuck to my computer, stuck to my phone. So it's a very restrictive process, you know, and it's only going to get more restrictive. Like for instance, like right now, like, I mean, I can't be face to face with a player, you know, and then even still after that, once I'm in the major bubble or the tighter bubble, I guess, the opportunities for that face to face stuff are so heavily regulated.
Now, obviously, you know, the bubble was created for the pandemic, and the NBA took that very seriously, but there was a chance that the whole thing was going to be ended this week. It seemed precarious. Yeah. What is, you know, even at your part where you're at, what have the vibes been like? What's the spirit like down there right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think people are happy to kind of get back to work. I think it's funny. So the stuff that happened in Kenosha played a huge role in kind of what happened in the NBA the last week. But I think people should know too that the other part of this is like players are kind of coming up on sort of like the 8 week mark of being here. And that's 8 weeks without family, 8 weeks without friends, 8 weeks without going to the restaurants you want to go to, without spending time with people you want to spend time with, without sleeping in your own bed. And I think, you know, guys were kind of afraid too, you know, mentally. I think that there was an element, and we heard guys talk about it yesterday, where like, you know, we needed a pause, we needed a break, we needed a reset. And I think, you know, that was certainly a part of what happened this week, was that guys needed to take a step backwards and refocus on not only the social justice initiatives that were such a big part of why players were here, but also kind of, you know, just sort of like to take a step back and look at this sort of thing mentally and say, like, take a deep breath and say, all right, like, we might be here another 6 weeks if we do this well. Let's get ready for that.
Robin Lundberg talking to Dan Wiecke, Los Angeles Times national NBA writer. He's down in Orlando right now. You know, and I think that goes to a larger point, right? A lot of that's related in a sense where, because you know, we watch these guys do what they do for a living, sometimes they might feel like they're not treated as individuals, you know, or you know,
sure,
regular people like everybody else. And you get that from this, right? You get that from, hey, I this cause is important to me, or hey, you know, I am struggling a little bit with anxiety or whatever because of the circumstances, or just what have you, that expression of when somebody says more than an athlete, that's what they're talking about. You know, yeah, they might be professional basketball players, but you're talking about human beings too.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's everything, right? I mean, I think, you know, I mean, no better example, right, than Chadwick Boseman in the last 24 hours. Like, we never know what someone's really going through, right? Like, we just don't know. And I think with a lot of NBA players here, you know, guys are going through stuff. I mean, there's, you know, there have been players who have lost loved ones, who have lost family members, who, you know, players who have children who watch things like the Jacob Blake video and are a little traumatized by it, and you can't be there. You know, I know one player is dealing with sort of this weird mental strain because, you know, he's here in Orlando. His, you know, his son lives 10 miles away, you know, and he can't see him. Like, they're very, very close, but he can't go, you know, and it's like sort of it's like there's a torture in sort of how close the proximity is, but how far apart you feel. And look, like, these are players that are fortunate, obviously, on a lot of fronts. And everybody here is fortunate. We're working, we're being tested for this virus. You know, so far, you know, results have come back clean. Like, everybody's pretty fortunate. And that's not to say that, you know, I mean, there are people in the world that, that have dealt with much, much tougher challenges. However, like, the challenges you deal with are the ones that are in front of you. And, like, this is a big challenge for a lot of people. I've been here for a week, and I hear, like, on Wednesday night, for instance. So as players are striking, and it's a very, very stressful day, obviously, you know, from a reporting standpoint, from a working standpoint, you're talking to people, you're hearing people that you deal with on a regular basis speak with, like, such pain and emotion, and it's like, you know, how you feel empathy. Typically in those situations that I've been at home, like, you know, at the end of the night, you shut the laptop and you're able to, like, you know, get the dose of perspective that you normally get. Like, for me, it's holding, you know, I've got a 13-month-old son, right? Like, and being able to put him to bed, whatever, is like a really good mental reset. And it reminds me of what I think is truly important. You know, you don't get to do that. And Wednesday night was like, I really wanted to do that. And I've only been here 3 days, 4 days at that point, right? Like, imagine if it had been 7 weeks, you have a horrible game, and the only thing that there is to do is sort of, you know, go get lost in the comments on your phone, you know, which is something that I think happened to Paul George. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's just like the, you know, the isolation of all of this matters. And it certainly played a large impact in sort of the way I think players have reacted to the Blake shooting over the past week.
You know, did you get any insight into the process of how you went from what happened with the Bucks and the domino effect there to none of the games being played, and obviously emotions running high, as you mentioned, and some guys not wanting to resume, to eventually them coming to the collective decision, hey, we are going to play, but we want certain things to be addressed, and this playing as a collective with the NBA platform being the best course of action. You know, what did you learn about the steps that came to that decision?
So sort of, I think the best way to describe sort of what happened on Wednesday was, like, imagine a group of people that were, like, ready to go skydiving, and they were talking about whether or not to do it, and then somebody just, like, gets shoved out of the plane. Right. And then they don't even have like nobody has gone through any training or has a parachute on or anything. You know, there was a lot of discussion about, should we boycott, should we not? And the overwhelming sense that I had gotten, you know, from talking to my sources and stuff like that, is that largely players would play, and people around the league expected people to play. And you had a team, the Milwaukee Bucks, decide not to play, you know, very quickly, without communication to other teams in the league, or much communication. And all of a sudden, everybody else is like, well, what do we do? I mean, you had players like Danny Green taking a pregame nap when he found out, you know, essentially someone shaking him to be like, hey, we're not playing today. Like, you know, we're boycotting now. It wasn't like incredibly well planned. I think, though, there is a strength within sort of the basketball to kind of stand with. The decision was made very quickly to stand with the Milwaukee Bucks, and then the decision very quickly became, okay, well, like, what do we do with all of this? And I think that's why Wednesday night's meeting with all the players was so contentious, or part of the reason why it was contentious is that, I mean, look, nobody knew exactly what to do. I still don't think anybody knew exactly what to do. But, you know, over the course of 48 hours, they were able to kind of land on a couple of concrete initiatives, three specific ones, actually. You know, you have arenas being used. If you're an NBA owner and you run your arena, we want you to use it as a polling place. Well, NBA arenas were already kind of moving in that direction. They were able to get that done. We want to set up a coalition where players, coaches, and ownership can all work together to deal with social justice issues. For instance, if you're an owner and you're making, let's just say, massive donations to a cause that the players aren't behind, like, this is a form to kind of be called on that.
And I think that's important. And then I think, you know, thirdly, they want to try to engage the public, you know, and really push the voting stuff, which is like I think we'll see here over the next couple of weeks. We'll see in-game commercials and stuff like that, which was essentially like, you know, if this is we're the product on the court, we would like some advertising time to talk about things we want to talk about. So there are concrete initiatives. I still think there's more to be done, obviously. But you know, I think players pretty quickly were able to harness their power and realize sort of the moment that was in front of them. But I think, you know, it wasn't like – this wasn't like a planned walkout, necessarily a league-wide walkout. It wasn't. It was, oh, what, the Bucks did what? And a reaction to that.
Yeah, and then they plan together how to act on it. Now that the games are set to resume today, are guys ready to play? Or are they at that place now?
I mean, we don't really know, right? We had very limited conversations yesterday. A bunch of teams early in the day canceled media availabilities, so we weren't able to speak to teams like the Toronto Raptors or the Boston Celtics or the Denver Nuggets or the Utah Jazz. Like, a bunch of these teams canceled media availabilities. I think as teams waited for some sort of joint statement, right? The joint statement comes out. Chris Paul was incredibly emotional yesterday, and that is somebody who has been put through the ringer, because, like, not only is he somebody who, you know, someone else pointed out, is a father and a husband and a brother and a son, and dealing with all of the responsibilities on that front. He's a leader on his team. Those are responsibilities too. I mean, this is the president of the Players Association, right? So he's been very busy the last 48 hours, right? You have coaches like Doc Rivers who've been very busy the last 48 hours. You know, I think adjusting to kind of getting back to work is difficult. And they had essentially a day, you know, they had Friday to do it. And even still, you know, when we talk to Chris Paul, this is somebody, when he talks about this stuff, you know, he gets choked up. Other players, like, you know, we talked to Russell Westbrook yesterday, and I mean, that guy seems ready to play. You know, I think there was an excitement in his voice. And so it's going to be really individual. I'm very curious to see how this goes today. I would imagine that it will be okay. And the reason why I say that is I do believe that for everybody here, people want to be here, well, enough because they are here, right? Mm-hmm. They're here to compete and stuff like that. And basketball for so many people is such a sanctuary space, right? That, like, once that game starts, like, you're able to kind of lose yourself in it. And I think for a group of people that have been so conflicted over the past 4 days, the ability to go get lost in something, I think, should be pretty appealing.
Dan, I really appreciate your insight. Dan Wyke, Los Angeles Times national NBA writer. Robin Lundberg Show continues here on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.